John 10:14-16. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one shepherd, one fold, and one shepherd. The true shepherd, and his flock. If you were singing this hymn with understanding, then the question that is being addressed in this message is written in Song of Solomon 1, verse 7 and 8. It was directly part of the hymn we were singing. There it is, the question of Song of Solomon 1. And there, verse 7 and 8. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And the answer is, if thou knowest not, O thou fairest among women, remembering a woman is the church, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Who is the one that is being asked? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Who is being addressed by this question? None other but the Lord Jesus Christ, who answers according to what we read in our scripture reading. We go back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we read there verse 6 and 7, and then verse 14 and 16, very important expressions to identify the one who answers that question. Here in John chapter 6, verse 7. John chapter 10, I'm sorry. John chapter 10, verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them. And it's interesting, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. I wonder how many people today are in the same situation. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And then verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. I'm the good shepherd. Verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And once more in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. G. Jesus was giving them a parable of the shepherd and the fold. And this parable was to describe the experience of his followers right there at that time. Because did you notice what he said? He says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. What fold was he talking about? He was talking about his disciples as the fold. And he has to bring other sheep into that fold. Already in Christ's time, the condition of the church that was identified as God's church was in a state of deplorable lack of care for the sheep. We come to the words of Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And we read there in verse 34. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And there Jesus was, of course, ministering to the people. And Jesus, when he came out, verse 34, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. What was the condition of the people in the time of Christ? Many people as sheep without shepherds. We can turn to the Old Testament in regards to this in Jeremiah, where this is expressed as well. Jeremiah chapter 50. We read there from verse 6. Here is what God is speaking about his people. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. The metaphor of sheep and shepherd is something that you can find throughout the Old Testament as well as what Jesus was saying in the parable of the fold, that he is the door of, and the sheep. And the whole story of this deplorable state of God's children who were supposed to be cared for by shepherds have been left, that there are no shepherds that care for them. And what did I read here? Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They are scattered and walking among the mountains without anybody caring for them. And as we come to our time, we have still the sad story of this, that many sheep are bleating for the true shepherd. And there I read from Great Controversy in reference to this. Great Controversy, page 390. I read there in paragraph 1. Great Controversy, page 390, paragraph 1, where it says, notwithstanding the spiritual darkness and alienation from God that exist in the churches which constitute Babylon, the great body of Christ's true followers are still to be found in their communion. That's what, when Sister White wrote that back there. The great body of Christ's true followers, are still to be found in their communion. There are many of these who have never seen the special truths for this time. Not a few are dissatisfied with their present condition and are longing for clearer light. They look in vain for the image of Christ in the churches with which they are connected. Sheep, God's people, in Babylon, in the churches. They are sheep looking for the true shepherd, looking for the true Christ. They are bleating. They are dissatisfied because they cannot see in their churches the image of Christ. And what we read in Jeremiah, it's exactly the case today as it was in Israel, that the shepherds have caused the people to go astray. So the sheep are astray. Then they haven't got a shepherd, that they don't know where he is. And as we were just reading that there in that statement, it's exactly what the Song of Solomon question was. Thou who I love, where are you feeding? Why is this happening? What does Scripture reveal as to the detail of why these sheep are scattered on the mountains? We've had the suggestion in Jeremiah already, but we will read the detail in the words of Ezekiel chapter 34. Follow with me there, Ezekiel 34. This is verses 1 through to 10. And here we are getting a metaphorical answer to the problem. Ezekiel chapter 34, reading from verses 1 through to 10. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, Surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at thy hands, at their hands, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. If you and I have receptive minds, we will understand what we're reading here. This is indeed a parable which was not understood when Jesus was speaking about it to the Hebrews, to the Jews at that time. So what was the reason why the sheep are scattered? What was the reason why they were bruised and battered and damaged? Why? Because those who were called upon to be shepherds to care for the flock were feeding themselves, were not caring, were not supporting the sheep. If you and I are truly children of God, are you able to identify here? What do you see? What do you see? Follow carefully. What is meant with verse 2? Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? What is meant with this? I read it from Bible Commentary, Volume 4. 4 BC, 1164. Here is the understanding behind this scripture. It says, upon the ministers of God rests a solemn, serious charge. They will be called to a strict account for the manner in which they have discharged their responsibility. If they do not tell the people of the binding claims of God's law, if they do not preach the word with clearness, but confuse the minds of the people by their interpretations, they are shepherds who feed themselves, but neglect to feed the flock. They make of none effect the law of Jehovah, and souls perish because of their unfaithfulness. Did you pick up in which way the shepherds feed themselves while they are failing to do their job? They do not tell the people of the binding claims of God's law, and they do not preach the word with clearness, but confuse the minds of the people by their own interpretations. And therefore the sheep are scattered. Therefore the sheep are not comforted, because the sheep are cared for by ministers, by shepherds, who put their own interpretation on the scriptures, confusing the minds of the people. There is the problem. And what happens because the shepherds are doing that to their sheep, to the people of God? What do the people, the sheep, do because of that? We go to verse 17 to 21 of Ezekiel 34. Follow carefully. If the shepherds are failing to feed the flock by the clear presentation of God's word, how do the sheep behave? How do the cattle behave? How do the goats behave? Here in verse 17. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? How did they eat up the good pasture? By putting their own interpretation on the pasture, by twisting it so that the people are not getting pure food. But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures. Now, remember, this is now cattle and goats and rams. What are you doing because these people were not feeding you? Because you begin to eat up the good pasture, and you must tread it down with your feet, the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. Pure water of life, drinking it and then fouling it with your feet, and putting the wrong interpretations on that as you have been taught by the shepherds. And the pasture, you're feeding on it, and then you twist it up and you stamp it under your feet. And what happens further? And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet. The doctrines have been trodden underfoot and twisted up so that you can't eat properly. And they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because, now notice what the creatures do, and this is a metaphor, because you have thrust with thy side and with your shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. Can you see the description here? The sheep are not being fed correctly, but what they are being fed, they trample underfoot as well. And then what do? They headbutt each other. They push each other with the shoulder. They create havoc among the sheep. Do you know something of this? Do you know this experience? You're feeding on trampled down spiritual food. You're drinking of muddy spiritual water. And you're yearning for that beautiful word that is telling you such wonderful stories, and you just, where is it? I can't find it. The sheep begin to bleat, to call for relief from this. And it's interesting, today, the sheep, literal sheep of today, how are they cared for in comparison to what it should be? They are fenced in. And when they're herded from one paddock to another or from one place to another, how are they herded? Chased by dogs. Surrounded by dogs. And if they don't do where they're supposed to go, the dog goes along and nips them in the heel. And this is the way it is with sheep today. What an interesting parallel to the churches of today, caring for the sheep. So what does God say he's going to have to do? He had to do it in the time of Christ. He's had to do it all the way through history. And here it is in verses 11 and 12. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." Verse 15, "I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God." What is he saying? Seeing the shepherds are failing, I'm going to have to step in. And isn't that exactly what he did in sending Jesus Christ? He came in and he gathered his disciples, which took him a while to recover them from the false understandings that they had gained from the false shepherds. It took him 3 years. And then after Pentecost or during Pentecost, slowly they were brought to the pure provender. So Jesus has been sent in harmony with what God said, "I'm going to have to do." And it's interesting, he is the true shepherd. That's what we read in John chapter 10, verse 14 to 16. "I am the true shepherd. My sheep will hear my voice. I've got my sheep in different places around, not in this fold. I'm going to bring them together." This is all in answer to what we read in Ezekiel 34 there. "I'm going to step in and do this." So these realities, as described in Desire of Ages, page 478, is a beautiful clarification. Desire of Ages 478, paragraph 3, where it says, and she's quoting, "He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Christ is both the door and the shepherd. He enters in by himself. It is through his own sacrifice that he becomes the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And that's what happened. That's what happened while he was there. And here he is in the words of Matthew 28. And he makes a beautiful statement to his sheep, to his fold at that time. Matthew 28, reading there from verses 16 to 20. "Here they were, his disciples. One of them was gone now, Judas. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I'm the true shepherd, yes? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He's sending out his flock and his shepherds. Go and teach. Teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So Jesus, the true shepherd, says, I've taken control of my sheep now. Here they are, a little bundle, a little fold, and I'm going to be with my fold through to the very end. That's what he said. To the very end of the world. And Sister White writes a beautiful little sentence in Acts of the Apostles, page 54, paragraph 2. To the end of time, the presence of the Spirit is to abide with the true church. Jesus has his fold, his true church, all through history. And this has been our study, has it not? Before I left. Recall the question and recall the answer. What was the question? Song of Solomon 1, where do you feed? You've got your flock. You've said you're going to be with your flock right through to the end. Where are you feeding? Where is the flock? As many sheep are saying, and as I have been reading. So in Babylon, there they are, bleating. I can't see Jesus. Where is he? Where do you feed? And what is his answer? Song of Solomon 1, verse 8. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. You see, what was the desire that they had? I don't want to be where there is contention and strife. I want to be able to repose. I want to be able to find pure pasture. I want to be able to find comfort. That's what we were singing there. And in the midst of this quest, people are saying, but I keep on meeting contentions. I keep on meeting all these negatives. Where are you feeding? He says, follow the footsteps. Remember what I said. I am with my flock to the very end of the world. That was what we studied in the seven churches. God's flock, God's pure church, God's one church in seven periods of time, from the time of Christ to the very end. And each successive period unveiled false shepherds, and the people were in other folds and not in the fold that Jesus was with. And Jesus keeps on stepping in, pointing the footsteps where his flock is, where they are, right through to the very end. Until the end of the world, again, the scattered sheep in each successive generation are saying, where's the fold? I want to be part of where there is no contention, where there is repose, where there is spiritual, mental, and emotional security, that the sheep are not scattered. And the words that we said, he will have to gather them himself. The final time in which we are living right now is Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, the period of Laodicea. Let's just read it there. He writes to them, to the shepherds of the flock. He says to the angel of the church. And what does he describe about the angel of the church, the shepherds, in chapter 3, verse 14? And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of creation. This is our shepherd. I'm showing you now. I know your works. I know the works of you shepherds, angel of the church. You say you are rich and increased with goods. You have fed yourself. You've made yourself fat. You're rich and increased with goods, and yet you're miserable. You're not my shepherds. You are failing miserably. And what does he say next? Because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. These shepherds are rejected. And what does he do in this period of time? He says in verse 20, because these shepherds are being spewed out, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm outside of a whole heap of you because you are trusting these false shepherds. I'm standing at your door. I want to come in. If any man, that's the way it's written, any man, any sheep, if you open the door, I will come in unto you. And open the door, I will come in unto you and will sup with him and he with me. I'm going to give you pure pasture. And then the final take on the matter is, he that overcometh, I grant to sit with me in my throne. The true shepherd is gathering his true sheep together in this period of time for the last time. And we have to recognize the shepherd's voice if you are his sheep. Among all the different voices that you're hearing from Christendom, they've all presented the word of God by their interpretations. Where is the pure pasture? Is that your cry? Well, what does he say as we come to this period of any man whom he is knocking on the door of? We go to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. Here he steps in again, as he has stepped in the time of his first advent. Jeremiah 3, verse 11. And notice how he is speaking, the backsliding, the sheep that are tearing each other up and trampling on the pasture and muddying the water. The Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel. Can you see him calling the sheep? Return, O backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. Yeah? What does he say? The sheep and the oxen are shouldering each other, are headbutting each other. Return to me, and I will not make my anger fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers and under every green tree. and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. I'm going to bring you to my fold. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Feed you the pure pasture, the pure water of life, unadulterated by human interpretation. Pure provender, I will feed you with knowledge and understanding. How? Because I'm going to give you pastors. And if you've got your bulletin, there is a beautiful statement there that says that Jesus will feed you through his messengers, through giving you the messengers that are going to give you the pure food and nurture and comfort you, where you can be secure in the fold. He will bring again Zion, the fold. And this is then also beautifully expressed in Isaiah 52, verses 8 through to 10. Isaiah 52, 8 through to 10. Here it is. Here are the true shepherds in the period of Laodicea through to the end. It says, Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. There it is again. He brings again his fold in the last days. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. That leads me into the next sermon. What does it mean for the Lord to make bare his arm? But here is the promise. In this time of earth's history, by the multitudes of churches, without 70 queens, 70 concubines, and virgins without number, where is she? Where is he feeding? This is for us to find, and we can find. And I tell you, we can find, because, brethren and sisters, I am a sheep that was torn as well. And I had to find my way through the morass, through the head-butting and shoulder-pushing, etc. And so do you. And the Lord has helped me, and he will help you. We can find the true shepherds. We can find the true shepherd himself, hearing his voice clear, without confusion of false teachings. So take courage, brethren. Whatever our experience is, we are to focus on the Lord as a shepherd who speaks to us, and we can hear his true voice. That's what he said, didn't he? My sheep will hear my voice. They will hear my voice and follow me. Are you his sheep? Can you recognize the true shepherd's voice? Courage in the Lord. Zephaniah chapter 3 is my concluding scripture. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Zephaniah 3, beautiful comfort in these words. Verse 12 to 14. Here is the shepherd speaking and who he leads. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. Verse 17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Reproach, burden, so meaningful. Behold, at that time I will do unto all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that is driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. And that is still future. That part, when he will make his sheep honorable in the eyes of the wicked. That is yet future. In the meantime, we can rest if we will recognize the shepherd's voice and place ourselves under his tuition of pure provender, of the pure crystal clear water that refreshes the spiritual life. This is a reality, and we can find comfort in the midst of the madness that surrounds us. I praise the Lord for the reality of this. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here before you. Praise his holy name. Amen.